こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。文字起こしのテキストはバイリンガルニュース公式アプリでゲットできるので試してみてください。1個目、住所のない場所でも位置情報を特定できる無料アプリ What 3 Words が今週海外メディアで話題となっています。What 3 Words は世界を3メートル ×3 メートルの正方形に切り分け、合計57兆個の正方形それぞれに3つの単語を割り当てています。例えばホワイトハウスの入り口は Curve、Empty、Buzz。東京タワーは船出、明確、忍耐で、言語一つにつきおよそ4万単語で世界中の住所を示すことが可能です。What 3 Words は2013年に設立されたロンドンのスタートアップで、イギリスの警察やレスキューチームの一部が採用しています。またモンゴルでは公式な郵便システムとして使われているほか、10万人が暮らすウガンダの難民キャンプでも使われています。
An app called What 3 Words, which enables users to specify a location which does not have an address, such as the middle of a road, somewhere in the woods, or in the ocean, has quickly gained popularity this week. What 3 Words divides up the world into 3 meters by 3 meter squares for a total of 58 trillion squares, each assigned to a combination of 3 words.For example, the entrance to the White House is labeled Curve, Empty, Buzz. Tokyo Tower is labeled 船出、明確、忍耐. And assuming a language has at least 40,000 words, it is possible to assign a word combination to every space on Earth. What 3 Words was founded in London in 2013, and their system is already being utilized by some British police and rescue teams.Having already been useful for shipwrecks, missing people, and locating a hostage. Furthermore, Mongolia is using the system for delivery logistics, taxis, banks, as well as in Ugandan refugee camps housing over 100,000 people.
そう、これなんでこれが急にこんなニュースになってるのかわかんないんだけど、多分 PR エージェンシーが入ってて、そこがなんか仕掛けたっぽい。それで急に。話題になってる。で、まあこれクローズドなんだよね、アルゴリズムが。なので、まあそこはちょっと賛否があるんだけど、でも面白いよね。
I think it's pretty cool.
そう、これアプリをダウンロードしてみると分かるんだけど、この 3m×3m の四角って結構ちっちゃいんだよね、地図にしてみると。
I think it's ちょうどいい。
そうだから、こうホワイトハウスだけじゃなくて、ホワイトハウスの入り口のところとか、ホワイトハウスのこの部分みたいな風に結構狭く指定できる。で、今までだとやっぱり住所か経度と緯度でしか表せないから、まあ、経度と緯度なんて、まあ、数字がバーッと並んでて、それを覚えるっていう人はいないだろうし、まあ、口頭で言うのもなかなか難しいっていうのと、まあ、このモンゴルとか、まあ、難民キャンプとか、まあ、イギリスのすごい田舎の例も書いてあったけど、そもそも住所がないところっていうのは結構あって、
うん、
それを示すには、まあ、すごく便利だねっていう話。
I think it's pretty awesome. I mean, it seems to be using language as a sort of mnemonic, as a memory tool.、
うん、
And so you canPick any location and communicate that to someone else just using three words. And you、mm. don't really have to think about、each letter,、
mm.
right? Whereas if it was a GPS coordinate, you have to look and transfer each digit over.、
Mm.
So,
そうで、二十何カ国とかの言葉に対応してて、ただ言語が変わると、そのアサインされてる言葉の意味も全然違うものになるのね、
うん、
だからこう言語が違う人同士で、なんだろう、アプリの設定が全然違う状態でコミュニケーションしようとすると、ちょっとどうしたらいいんだろうっていう問題がある、うん、例えばさっき言ったように東京タワーは船出、明確、忍耐なんだけど、英語だと Fans Helpless Collects だから全然違うんだよね。
The same location?
そうだから単純に、うん、 言葉を訳せばいいっていう問題ではない、
mm.
あとあの例えば言葉一つ間違えちゃうとあえて全然違う場所になるようになってんだってちょっと近くとかじゃなくて、mm. だから、
right. It's not like buzz. There's more buzz of the word buzz in any particular area.
そうそうそう、right? そうなの。だから港区何々で港区でまとまってるみたいなことにはなってないから、
mm.
そしてそのアルゴリズムはあの公開されてないので分かんないっていう、mm. だからあの、まあ、この人たちはこれをあと5年ぐらいでグローバルスタンダードにしたいって言っていて、まあ、それで結構あの怒ってる人もいる。あの、うん、お金を払わないとアルゴリズムとかが分かんないから、うん、その、まあ、配送業者とかが使う分にはいいんだけどそれを国が採用するってなると、まあ、ここが儲かるだけじゃんみたいな感じで、まあ、ただ面白いと思ったけど
It seems like someone might be able to reverse engineer that、
うん、
I mean it'd be way more work than them just telling us but
yeah なんかこう今まで住所ってそれこそそういう経度と緯度みたいなのかその東京都何区みたいなで何丁目何番地とかっていうのがもう当たり前と思ってたから、mm. あこの単語3つで全部を表すっていうのができるんだっていうのがちょっと新鮮に思った、
mm. This doesn't have、the vertical dimension, right? This is assuming it's flat, right?
そうそうそう、
うん、So it doesn't tell you, there's no
そうだねだからあの建物の何階とかはこれでは分かんない、
hmm.
けど表面としては、
hmm. I think we need a version that has that
ねそしたら面白いよね
But that would make it much more complicated
Yeah
And that, Is it、sort of the nominal elevation or is it relative to the surface because the surface elevation varies a lot、
yeah.
all over the world
あと一個懸念として言われてたのは日本が例に出されてたけど地震とかがあった時にちょっとずつずれるじゃん、
うん、
だからそれはどうなるんだみたいなこと言ってる人いたけど、
うん、
まあその懸念を示してる人っていうのはそのグローバルスタンダードになった場合のことを想定して言ってるから単純にこうみんなが便利に使うこのアプリを通して使う分には別にそんななんかクリティカルに見る必要ないんじゃないかと私は思ってるけど。
I guess it's true that the continents are drifting, right? Like、うん、it used to be the
そうそう
Pangea thing.
Yeah, yeah. だからそれがどんな出るのかはちょっとわかんないけど。
I don't know over what time scales that matters.、
うん、
Did you ever, are you aware of a trend? I don't know if people are still doing it, but it was called, or it is called geocaching. Do you know what geocaching is?、
Mm-hmm.
So geocaching, I've never done it, but people would place a little special object in a container and then hide it somewhere in the world,、
mm-hmm.
and that would be a geocache. And then there would be, I think they would use GPS coordinates or maybe some sort of indirect hints and stuff, but the game was...to find other people's objects、
hmm.
and so people would put them in really interesting places
okay
you know at the top of some mountain that nobody climbs or something
okay
so you could use this for that sort of、
hmm.
activity、
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a cool thing the geocaching
because、hmm.
if you travel to another countryThere's likely geocaches hidden in weird places in pretty much any country by people who also travel around、
okay.
the world.
え、それを見つけたらどうなるの?
You take what's in there and then you can put your own thing in there. Or,、
okay.
I don't know, there might be instructions so inside
it's
the
for
geocache.
Fun ってこと?
It's totally for fun.
Ah, okay.
It's okay. not, there's no, I don't think there's anybBusiness, anything、
okay.
around it, even.
ああなるほどね。そう、なんか意外と東京に住んでると意外だけど、世界ではやっぱり住所がない人もいっぱいいるし、
mm-hmm.
田舎 とかに行くと、その、まあ、自分の家は住所あるけど、その土地全体の中では住所がないみたいな。なんて周りがあんま住所ないから、誰かに家の場所を言うときに、こう、まあ、そこを何メートルぐらい行って、そこの木を右に曲がってみたいな言い方をしてる人が結構いて、まあ、そういうときにこういうのがあると、まあ、ピンポイントでたどり着けるから便利だねとかも言われて。
Yeah, if they should do this for like Airbnb. You know?
確かに。
I like staying at Airbnbs that are somewhere weird, like in the wilderness or something. And it's often quite hard to find it. And if they just told me three words and I could punch that in, that would be cool.
そうだね。
I think there are potential applications for this sort of thing. In conjunction with augmented reality. So with augmented reality, we can eventually sort of thoroughly map out our surrounding environment. It's kind of like on Google Maps, you can drop the little bendy yellow guy onto the road, and then you can walk around there, right? So it'd be... I think people are trying to do this, but build a reconstruction of all of our environments in a very specific way. And I don't know, maybe you could do Minecraft with that or something. Some variation of that.
Yeah. 次、イェール大学クロケットラボの脳神経学者マーリー・クロケット教授の複数の研究で、人は友人関係や恋人関係において、帰結主義者よりも義務論者を好む傾向にあることが分かりました。つまり、例えば多数の人を救うために自分の手で一人を殺すのは仕方ないという人よりも、多数の人が犠牲になっても自分の手で人を殺すのは良くないという人を好むということです。しかし、政治家など国のリーダーにおいては逆になっていました。
Several studies conducted by Molly Crockett of Crockett Labs at Yale University suggest that people prefer friends and partners who are deontologists rather than consequentialists. For example, someone who openly agrees with the statement, in order to save many people, I will kill this one person with my hands, tends to be less attractive than someone who says, even if many people will die, it's not good to kill with your own hands. Interestingly,This trend was found to be the reverse when considering world leaders.
そう、Vox のインタビューに答えてたんだけど、まあ、要はトロリーの話、よくある。そのこのままトロリーが進んでったら、それに乗ってる多くの人が死んじゃいますと。じゃあその人たちを助けるために、今あなたの目の前にいる一人をトロリーに向かって押せば、まあ、この大勢は助かりますどうしますかみたいな話、その時にまあいや全然みんなのために一人殺しますよっていう人じゃない方がいいっていう、でおそらくそれは何でかっていうと自分になった場合その一人が例えばその自分が死ねばたくさんの人が助かるってなった時に自分の奥さんとか旦那さんとか彼氏彼女がためらいもなく自分を犠牲にして見知らぬ多数を助けるみたいな状態は人間の心理としてあんまり嬉しくないじゃん、だから知らない多数よりも自分を助けてほしいみたいなで、そういう人とか自分の子供、だそれが一般的にいいか悪いかは別として自分の恋人とか友人ってなったらそういう方がいいなみたいな人が多いっていう話。
でも、I saw the example they gave, which is a little less extreme. But if you said, sorry, family, yeah, instead of going to Hawaii, I'm going to spend that money on anti, you know, malaria preventing mosquito nets for underprivileged children or something.
ね、なんか3000ドルぐらいっていうシナリオだったよね確か、3000ドルぐらい貯めてじゃあハワイ行こうって言った時にそういやハワイに行くよりこれを全額寄付しようよっていうのは一般的に素晴らしいことなんだけどそれが自分の恋人だったら辛いみたいな話、まあそうだ
It makes sense、 right? And you wouldn't want someone you care about to have to be the one that has to kill this guy to save a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Because then they'll go to jail.
Right.
And then, you know,
you'll
all miss them. So. And it's like, well, I had to do the right thing. And it's like, yeah, but now our lives are ruined.
Mm.
Good job, asshole, being a hero. You should have just let someone else do it.
そう、あとその彼女はソーシャルパートナーっていう言い方をしてたけど、そのソーシャルパートナーとしてはやっぱりあのこういうふうにエクストリームに利他的じゃない人の方が魅力的に映るわけで、でそういう人同士がずっと交配してきた結果、まあどっかしらでそういうそなんかまあジェネリックバリエーションまでいかないけど、そういう何か遺伝する要素があるのかもねって。そうするとみんなまあ多くの人がそういう傾向を持ってるっていう。
It reminds me of this Denzel Washington movie called, I think it was American Gangster.
病院のやつ？あ、違う。Okay.
Where he was, he's like a really bad guy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's a really
bad guy. ロビンフッド的なことだよね。
But he's a good, I don't know, member of the family. Like,
yeah.
he really cares about his family, but he's a really bad guy.
Yeah.
And so it is a bit Robin Hood. But,
yeah.
I mean, Robin Hood's kind of...
better?
I don't know. I don't know how to compare those,
あの、
but...
まあ、Game of Thrones って言うと Cersei だね。マイケルは分かんないと思うけど。まあ、家族のためならもう何でもやるっていう。他の人がめちゃくちゃになってもどうでもいい。ただ自分のか家族だけはもう第一に優先にするっていう。
I think people feel more, are compelled to feel that way more strongly in certain cultures too. I don't know how Japan would compare. I guess like South America. Some parts of South America have strong, yeah, like family values.
なんかおじさんおばさんいとことかもめっちゃ仲いいみたいな。
Yeah, like it'll automatically override any stranger. It doesn't matter if it's 20 strangers, 30 strangers. It's automatic.
まあ日本は家族によるもんな。あんまりこう一概に言えない感じするけど、あのこのインタビューで面白いなって思ったのは、その極度に倫理的で利他的な人を見てると自分がそこまで素晴らしい人じゃないっていうことを思い知らされて、ちょっとネガティブな気持ちになるっていうのがあって、mm. だから嫌みたいな。
Too selfish.
あ、てか、に感じちゃうから、あんまりそういう人と一緒にいたくないなって思っちゃう現象があって、mm. 例えばベジタリアンの人をすごい嫌う人っているじゃん。なんか別に誰にも迷惑かけてないけど、ベジタリアンなんてみたいなすごい言う人はこう結構、まあ、みんながみんなじゃないけど、そういう人と一緒にいることによって、あ、自分は何も考えずに動物を食べてる、なんか自分が悪い人になってる感じがしちゃうみたいな、だからなるべくちょっと距離を置きたい。
I think that's definitely a thing. You know, people don't want to date orbe friends with people who are going to judge everything they do. You know, like they would, you would just be getting, you would be getting judged, right? I mean, this person's trying to save the Amazon and here you are, you know, using waribashi like an asshole.
まあわざわざジャッジしなくても、やっぱ自意識過剰にもしかしてこう、自意識過剰というか自分で思っちゃう可能性はあるよね。こう比べてっていうか、あ、なんか自分はここまではできないなとか、それでちょっとマイナスな気持ちになるから、この人とずっと一緒にいるとつらい。確かに自分の彼氏とかがあまりにもこうなんか絶対に なんだろう、悪口も言わないし、ゴシップも何も見ない、誰のこともジャッジもせず、自分が稼いだ金を全部寄付してるみたいなさ、人だったらなんかちょっと辛いもんがあるよね。
Where do you
think, なんか人としては素晴らしいんだけど。
Where do you think you are on this scale between, what is this? deontologists and consequentialists.
Yeah, ちょっと考えたことないかわかんない。What about you?
I definitely think about both.
まあ、どっちかに極度に触れてる人っていうのの方が少ない気はするけどね、みんな。ただ、
I think I would lean do-gooder. But as I get older, I feel like some of that might be naive. Like certain processes are sort of what they are.
Yeah, まあ、国のリーダーにおいて逆になるっていうのも面白いけど、まあそうだよねって思うよね。
Well, you want a leader that's trying to not empower themselves and empower other people instead.
Yeah.
But you also don't want a leader, but you want a leader who's nationalistic and,
right,
you know, elevates your country, right?
そうそうそう。
So, I don't know.
まあ、それもあるし、こうやっぱりみんながハッピーな方がいいというか、犠牲、なんかそのためにちょっとの人を犠牲にするのは仕方ないっていうふうに選んでいかないと成り立たないわけじゃん、国なんて。なんか全員がハッピーにはなれないから。
I think there's also an aspect of the greater good versus.The integrity of the process. So sometimes the greater good in the moment conflicts with the integrity of the process, or risks setting a new precedent.
Right.
And then people get anxious. Like, this is a slippery slope. Like, there's no such, you can't just have these one-time exceptions. Because then why don't you just do it again? And so I think do-gooders.In order to try to solve a problem, they underappreciate that the integrity of the system, the importance of that. You know, systems that have been around for, you know, thousands of years, and then you got a problem that's lasting months, you know, and we're going to change it. So, I don't know. People have certainly had really good intentions and done bad things. So...One thing about the do-gooder is they think they're right, you know? And so there's a little bit of a... People become suspicious of their ego, you know? And how much of their mission is, you know, about glory or something, too. Because that's where you get all the social accolades and the attention and the, you know...
Are you thinking of a specific example?
Well, I think not really, but there are a lot of people in what's a general area, Hollywood or something, where they kind of bandwagon on issues, and it just doesn't feel like it feels like a bunch of marketing, and then nothing. The thing everyone wanted.Doesn't quite happen. And then people don't seem that upset that it wasn't successful, even though they were so serious about it before. Yeah, and then there's a kind of this move on to the next thing.
Right.
And I don't, maybe that's just how I'm seeing it, but that's what it feels like sometimes, to me anyways.
難しいよね。こう、声を上げても何も変わらない時もあるけど、まあ、声上げないよりはマシみたいな時もあるし、でも確かにこう今言ったみたいにただの流行りみたいな感じで、こうそれを今ツイッターで言っとかないと自分のブランディングがみたいなのに乗っかってるだけみたいなのも確かにね、ちょっとどうかなって思うけど。
I've done a lot of volunteer work and work for NGOs, and I felt the impulseI should tell everyone I'm doing this. I should like, I should point at people who aren't doing it and say like, hey,
right.
You're less cool because you're not doing it.
Yeah.
You know? But people are just in very different places in life.
そうね。
You know, because there can be a huge disaster, but a lot of people be like, sorry, I just got to take care of my family right now. I can't go dig trenches or whatever. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
そうね。次。英国王立協会オープンサイエンスに掲載されたゲーテ大学フランクフルトの研究で、アメリカ、イギリス、オランダ、ドイツのポップアルバムランキングを分析し、1990年代初頭から急激に傾向が変化していることを発見しました。1960年から1980年代にかけては、人気のアルバムはランキング入りしてから4週間から6週間かけて第1位に上り詰めるのが普通で、ランキングにとどまる期間の統計は対数世紀分布でしたが、90年代以降はいきなりナンバーワンを獲得するか、全くトップに入らないかに分かれており、ランキングにとどまる期間はべき上速で、音楽の消費スピードが大きく加速していることが分かります。
In a study published in British Royal Society Open Science by Goethe University in Frankfurt, researchers analyzed the pop album rankings in the United States, England, the Netherlands, and Germany and found that there was a dramatic change beginning in the 1990s. From 1960 to 1980, popular albums would typically remain on the rankings for 4 to 6 weeks.And album lifetimes were governed by a Gauss distribution. However, beginning in the 90s, albums would either be ranked number one or not enter the top rankings whatsoever, indicating a power law distribution where the rate of music consumption increased dramatically.
うん。だって、だからまあ、結構ずっとランキングに入ってるみたいな。こう緩やかに、緩やかに。っていうのから、まあ、ガッと来てガッと去るみたいな。でもまた次の1位の曲が出てとか、だからパパパーっと進んじゃう感じ。まあイメージ的にもこうなんだろう、親の世代とか、じゃあカーペンターズの同じ曲をみんながなんかずっと聴いてるとか、じゃあバックストリートボーイズの I Want It That Way もみんな聴いてるから全員今でも歌えますみたいな。なんか何ヶ月も 何年も同じの聴いてるとか、最近はあんまりなんかそういう感じではなさそうだよね。
Well, back when it was like the Beatles and Eric Clapton and like、Jimi Hendrix、
yeah.
like everyone knew the same songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, you know, go to bars and like sing the same songs together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like everyone would know. But,、but now I think、certain, it's very rare for songs to like stick that much. They become like、yeah. global, like 40 million view phenomena,、you know, on YouTube. And I mean, just the number of plays that the top songs get is so much more,、right?
そうね。なんか、まあ、グローバルで共有してるのもあるし、もうちょっとこう多様性があるというかさ、だから、まあ、そのグローバル化してるっていうのとも共通してるけど、こうみんながポップソング聴いてるみたいなことではないわけじゃん。なんかクラスのみんなが大体同じものを聴いてるっていう感じではないと思うから、もはや。
Think about the amount of data processing. In other words,
yeah.
They make this song, which is some crazy artistic, mental.Amalgamation of 4 or 5 different artists' brains, right? In this sonic form. And then that's distributed out to millions, hundreds of millions of people. And it bounces around in all of their brains. And then people are like, I like it. I don't like it. I like it. I don't like it. You know,、
yeah.
like millions and millions of times.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, listen to this song I heard.And they show other people music. They make mixtapes for each other. The amount of processing that we've done、
yeah.
with our minds on music is pretty insane.
すごいよね。
And it's getting faster and faster. We're sharing music、yeah. faster, more seamlessly. We're listening to more of it in more places. The iPod, and now it's just in our phones. And now we have、yeah. wireless earphones. So people are just flying,、you know, at 70 kilometers an hour on the train.
Yeah.
And...They just have like music streaming off the internet into their ears.
だって私がそれこそ小学生とか中学生の時ってそもそもアルバムとかを聞いてみることもできないから、CD 屋さんに行って試し聞きみたいなさ、あったじゃん。でそこに買いたいやつが入ってれば聞いてみれるけど、入ってなかったらもう聞かずにジャケット見て買うしかないわけじゃん。
And it only had like four discs in there or something.
そうそうそうそうそう。Right? そう。で、まあ、いろんなとこに設置し、ね、お店の中にいっぱい設置してある場合もあったけど、でも聞けないから
一か八かみたいな。The one you want to listen to, someone's using it, so you can't hear the song. It's crazy.
そうそう。しかもアルバムなんて1時間分あって、そこに1時間経って全部聞くわけにもいかないから、まあ、急いでパッパって聞いて買うか買わないか決めるとか、で昔本当にだからこれ言うとさ、なんか本当にすごい解雇主義のやばい おばさんみたいだけどなんか英語のじゃアルバムを買おうって思った時にネットもないから、ないっていうかそんなね今みたいな感じじゃないから、じゃあブリティニー・スピアーズの CD ありました、あ可愛い、見たことない知らない子だけど可愛いから買ってみよう。
Which album?
The first album、私小学校6年生だったんだけどね、めっちゃ可愛いこの子と思って、聞いたこともないけど買って、あめっちゃいい感じってなるじゃん。でも歌詞の意味が分かんなかったら辞書だよ、一個一個単語辞書で弾いて、でもどっかに書いとくとか、まあ、自分で覚えるとかしないといけない。で歌詞カードがついてない CD もたまにあって、そしたらもうリスニングでどうにかするか、もう一生歌詞わかんないかしかない、ネットで調べることができないから。
You didn't have a 電子辞書？
電子辞書6年生の時はなかったと思う、だから紙の辞書だったし、しかもね私たちが多分それぐらいの年の時って電子辞書がまだ新しかったから、電子辞書と紙の辞書って絶対紙の辞書を使いなさいみたいなことを学校で言われてたの今考えると意味わかんないけど、
電子辞書 was like 8万円 or somethingthe good like, ones were like crazy expensive.
Yeah, but they also had this sentimental thing where like, oh, paper dictionary is better, like it sticks to your memory better. とかなんかそういう。
But people became sentimental about 電子辞書 too later.
あ、もはやね。だからこう英語、今だったら英語で音楽聞いて英語の勉強しましょうとか、もう一発で歌詞も出てくるし意味も調べるの簡単だから簡単に言えるけど。私が若い時って子供の時は全然もうそれもすごい大変だったし、だから今英語の勉強、まあ、言語の勉強するってなったら昔よりは全然もう簡単になってるなって、まあ、自分がフランス語を勉強しててすごい思う。だから今本当ラッキーだよね。
It's gotta be like 10 times easier now、
しかも
than even like 10 years ago or something、I feel like the access toEnglish TV shows and all that stuff in Japan is way better than before.
まあだって単純に Netflix とかね入れば何でも見れるし、全部字幕ついてるし、しかも英語の字幕もつけれるじゃん。だから昔本当フレンズの DVD とかを全部買わないと見れないみたいな。で高いしさ、それしか見れない。
You didn't rent those?
My mom used to buy those cause, so she can watch it like over and over.だから。
Would you guys return them on time or generally no? When you rented those, would you return it on time?
Oh yeah. それすごいストレスじゃなかった
？ It was so stressful.
もう早く返さないと。でも行くのめんどくさい。
One of the first times I saw an adult get really upset about something was over, that was at the video rental counter. It was like the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And they were so upset about like,
めんどくさいよね。
I don't know, they came in just after some time and it was, the fee was like 3 times more than the original rental cost. And it was,
いやだから本当全然違う。だこの音楽もね、こう買う前に全部聴けるのは当たり前だし、買わなくても別に YouTube で全部タダで聴けるじゃん、ほとんど。しかも公式に、違法じゃなくて法的に全部聴けるってすごいことだよね。
Yeah, you don't even have to go on LimeWire or Napster or any of the... Like, you had to break the law to learn English 10 years ago.
If you didn't want to buy CDs.
Well, movies and TV shows and all the interesting content
is
pretty elusive. without torrents and stuff. But these, in this study, these researchers make this point about the acceleration of cultural processes.
そうね、そう、あの、政治の、政治とか、まあ、ソーシャルな opinions が変わるスピードっていうのも音楽と一緒に一緒でものすごく加速していて、そうなってくると民主主義っていうのがどんどん難しくなりますみたいなことを言ってたね。なんかでも結構音楽の研究で急にそこぶっこんでくんだと思ってちょっとびっくりしたけどね。
It's kind of awkward the way that it's written.
なんかこう、それが言いたいのは分かるんだけど、結構唐突だよね。
They go from the pop rankings chart to like this is the acceleration of cultural processes and you know alluding to some kind of I don't know, it's like the what's that theory? Singularity. Sort of a cultural singularity or something.
Yeah.
Because if things get faster and they get faster and they get faster and they keep getting faster and faster and faster, eventually, you know, you're going to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Crazy.
そう、だからなんか民主主義っていうのはある程度みんなの意見がステーブルであることをまあ前提にしているわけであって、それがコロコロコロコロ変わるってなると民主主義自体がこう難しくなるみたいなことが書いてあって、
I think it's true.
ただでもちょっと急すぎてびっくりはしたけどね。
But the implications of that are just absolutely vast. That things are getting faster, and it should be sort of obvious at this point. I mean, the Wright brothers was 100 years ago, and now things are just insane. AI is everywhere. Remember we were talking about, you know, there's going to be AI and they're going to start putting in all these products. AI is friggin' everywhere now. Like, you can't get away from it. It's a meme now that just everything is algorithms. Yeah, it's hard to find news that's not about AI at this point. But if this is, if, I don't know if this is just our culture, it's also our technology. It may be the universe itself.
Right.
I came across something the other day. The inversion of dark energy, the relative force of dark energy in our universe, at some point, overcame, I guess, the general gravitational forces. And recently, like not that long ago, this flipped and the dark energy is now more powerful and our universe is expanding faster and faster and faster and faster. And most of that expansion was like really recent.
Like?
Because it's accelerating. Like most of the expansion is whatever the last 1,000 years is always going to be true. It's really weird that's sort of coinciding with what's going on Earth.
Right.
It's kind of like, hey, we've got so much extra time on the sides and stuff. But something weird is happening. You know, monkeys didn't start like driving around on the moon and stuff. For no reason. Or just like out of nowhere. That wasn't normal.
It's kind of anxiety inducing.
To be trapped in something that's just going faster and faster. And it's like the movie Speed.
Yeah, it's like somehow you want things to be slow. Like, not, I mean, it's weird, but こうのんびりするっていうの好きじゃん、人間は。だからこう、バケーションとか行って、まあ、リゾートとか海とか。みんな好きなのはこうのんびり時間をゆったりと流れているみたいな。
But then you get anxious if you're there too long, right?
No.
I think you do. It happens. It does happen. I've felt
Well, I've never spent too much time.
You spend like two, 3 weeks on an island somewhere and it's like, I've forgotten everything.
That's fine.
I don't remember how anything works.
That's like, fine.
I don't know.
Maldives for a month? That sounds amazing.
I think this whole idea is in line with theories about the balkanization of epistemology. I think more and more people will start to realize that the inhuman condition that we're barreling towards faster than most of us are comfortable with is in fact going to make more and more people more uncomfortable.
Hmm.
And I actually think atheism is a huge part of that, because it's such a vacuum, epistemological vacuum.
Hmm.
It doesn't tell you to believe anything. So in terms of balkanization, in terms of people just going off in different directions and believing different things,
mm.
you know, you don't have the... you don't have the ideological placeholder.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at science, you know, we've got like quantum physics, and then you have a relativity and they don't match, and people can't even agree on the inflation rate or what happened at the beginning of the universe. Or
right.
There's a lot of convolution for the average non-scientifically educated
person. Mm.
According to satellite observations published. This one?
Yeah.
According to satellite observations published by the Brazilian National Institute for Space Research, there have been at least 40,000 wildfires within the Amazon rainforest since January, with 26,000 of them occurring in August alone. While Brazil's president, Jair Bolsonaro, initially resisted international calls for action to put out the fires, claiming the sovereignty of Brazil was not being respected, military troops have since been deployed, and data from the European monitoring service Copernicus shows that fire activity has returned to normal levels. Since 1970, Brazil has consumed 77.7 million hectares, or approximately 12% of the Amazon rainforest. Much of the deforestation occurs during the dry season, when slash-and-burn techniques are used to clear land for logging, agriculture, mining, and cattle. The Amazon rainforest is estimated to capture some 25% of the world's carbon dioxide generation.
ブラジル国立宇宙研究所が公開した衛星画像によると、アマゾンの熱帯雨林では今年1月から少なくとも4万件の火災が発生しており、8月だけで2万6000件に上ることが分かりました。早急に消火活動をすべきという国際的な批判に対し、ブラジルのジャイール・ボルソナロ大統領は当初過干渉であるとしていましたが、その後軍を投入し消火活動に当たっています。EU のコペルニクスによると、現在火災は通常レベルまで落ち着いているとのことです。1970年からブラジルはアマゾンの熱帯雨林のおよそ 12% にあたる7700万ヘクタールを伐採し消費しています。木材の調達、農業、採掘、畜産用の土地を確保するため、乾季の間に森を伐採して火をつける方法が取られています。アマゾンの熱帯雨林は地球上の二酸化炭素の 25% を吸収していると推定されています。
Yep.
そう、これ、マクロンとか、G7 の首脳たちが、まあ、お金も出すからこれはちょっとどうにかしなさいみたいな話をしていて、うん、で、まあ、政府が、まあ、ブラジル政府が、まあ、要はこの火災を助長しているっていう批判をしていたんだよね。で、まあ、大統領はもちろんほっとけみたいな感じで怒ってたわけなんだけど、うん、ブラジル政府がこの火災は大したことじゃないですよみたいな、火災は毎年起きてるし、そんなみんな落ち着いて全然ノープロブレムみたいな情報を発信していて、でそれを各国の大使館が、まあ、ツイッターとかソーシャルメディアを使って発信してたんだよね、さらに。でそれは日本語にも翻訳されて、だそこでやっぱり結構みんなが あ、なんだ、そうなんだみたいな。ブラジル政府は全然問題ないって言ってるし、なんか騒いでる人たちは何なんだみたいな、デマじゃんみたいな感じになってる流れを目撃して、まあインドネシアのパーム油の問題もそうなんだけれども、こう政府が認めることによって不利益を被る場合にやっぱり対外的にそういうメッセージを出すことっていうのはしょっちゅうあって、
うん、
それをどこまで信用するか、どこまでファクトを見るかっていう、こうリテラシーが問われていると思うんだけれども、うん、やっぱりこう政府っていうのが出す見解に弱い、まあまあ、私ももちろんそういう時あると思うんだけど、あ、なんだみたいな、やっぱ鵜呑みにしちゃうのはどうかなと思った。
Well, what I had noticed in doing my research for this is that there has been an enormous amount of misinformation about what's going on, and a lot of it's well-intentioned, but a lot of it is really exaggerating what is happening. And then someone points out, hey, this is exaggerated, and then people are like, oh, なんだ。
そう、それもあった。
This is like total fake news. And I agree with those people. There was a shitload of fake news about this when I was researching this. And I still don't know if these numbers are right. I mean, everyone had different numbers. A lot of people were saying that there were 80,000 fires in the Amazon rainforest, but then they were saying that their source was the Brazilian National Institute for Space Research, and you go there and they're saying it's 40,000. So where is it?
その一般的に熱帯雨林が作り出している例えば酸素、地球上の酸素の何パーセントとか、そういう数字を、まあ、すごい確かに大げさにして、それが拡散して、
And the pictures too were all fake. All these celebrities, like, check your shit.
で、それが、いや、大げさじゃんってなったら、そもそも火災自体がデマなんじゃないかみたいなところまで行ってる時もあって、もうなんか、なんだろう、本当の問題が埋まってしまって、こうなんかすごい表面的なところで、嘘じゃんとか本当じゃんとかっていう話になり、実際の問題があまり議論されないまま、こう、喧嘩してる人たちがいるみたいな、まあこれはこの問題に限ったトレンドではないんだけど。
But almost every article I saw about this contained facts that I could not trace to a verifiable source. Almost every single mainstream media outlet did that. Almost all of them. Like, I really had to pull these numbers out of somewhere crazy.
そもそもこう、インドネシアとかマレーシアの問題もそうだけど、難しくて、要は国の経済がそこにかかっている、その産業とか、まあ、こういう自然を破壊することにかかっている、でそれっていうのは大体先進国じゃなくて、今あの発展しているところとか後進国だったりするわけじゃない。でだけどこう地球規模で見ると、そういう資源っていうのはみんなのものであって、だけどその国からしてみると、それはその国のものであって、そんな他国からね、しかもとっくに全部伐採して発展している国からそうやって言われるのは侵害だみたいな。だからそこはすごくセンシティブな問題なんだけど、
Well, I think that could be solved very easily. So the Amazon rainforest, if they do slash and burn, and if they do use it for industry, has significant economic value for Brazil. And the Brazilian people, they vote, they pick who they want, and they can decide what they're going to do with the Amazon rainforest. If they had some referendum tomorrow and they decided we're going to cut the whole thing down, I mean, that's their national sovereignty. I think what needs to happen is for G7 other countries to go to the Brazilian government, be like, look, we will pay you regularly to protect those rainforests, and you will make more money not cutting it down than cutting it down.
So, だから
it's really, there's no other solution, right?
Yeah. だからインドネシアとかで行われているのは、その他国の 美容団体とかが入っていって、要はそれを切らないでも雇用を確保してお金を創出する方法っていうのを一緒に考えて、それをしかも継続的にサポートする。だから例えば、うん、エコツーリズムとかもそうだよね。だからその木を全部切っちゃってもうオランウータンもみんな死んでますみたいな風にして目先のお金を得るのか、それともエコツーリズムじゃあできるようにしましょう、じゃあいっぱい人が来てオランウータン、自然のオランウータン見れるようにしましょうとかね。じゃあそこでレンジャーが必要です、そこでじゃあツアーのをオペレーションする会社が必要ですとか、でそこで現地の雇用を確保しましょうみたいな、
うん、
まあ、そういうこう提案をする、案をカムアップして、それをきちんと現地でサポートすることによってさらなる被害を食い止めるみたいな方法を取ってる場合もあるわけじゃない。だからこう確かにこうやるなやるなみたい な, なんか切るな切るなみたいなことをやっぱり離れたところから言ってるだけでは全然意味がなくて、なぜならその切ってるにも理由があるわけだから。
Right, well, when Macron and G7 were, you know, shoving this aid money in his face, his chief of staff was like, why don't you use that money to reforest Europe? And, you know,
そう、結局そういう、
I mean, it's,
でも結局そういう議論になってしまうんだよね。そう。
And they're not unpopular in Brazil.
いやいや。だからそのインドのあれなんだっけ、リオディカプリオのドキュメンタリーでもね、mm-hmm. インドの政府の人からリオが怒られてるシーンがあったけれどもそのお金がそこまでない国ではもう早急に取り組まないといけない課題っていうのがあって、その目先の課題っていうのがあって、うん、環境のこととかを言ってる場合じゃないみたいな。でその余裕があってからこそそういうものに取り組めるわけであって、とかそういうテクノロジーがあるわけであって、だからこうまあフィンガーポインティングしてる場合っていうよりかはみんなでこう仲良く本当は解決していかないといけないっていうのはあるよね。
You know, the G7 gave this aid moneyto Brazil、mm. to address this issue. I mean, this was bad. There were a lot of fires, a lot more than in recent years. But there were far more fires in like 2003, 2004, 2005. You know, I saw so many headlines saying, this is the most fires since they started recording. Mm. That's not true, as far as I can tell. Unless I'm reading, who knows who's reading fake news at this
point. Right.
But don't just give them cash, a one-time thing. There needs to be an agreement, long-term agreement, where if Brazil violates the agreement, they stop getting money. And that way, the world can sort of appreciate Brazil protecting those assets which serve everyone on Earth. Because everyone on Earth benefits from the existence of the Amazon rainforest, from the eco...diversity for its carbon effects、
うん、from the medical discoveries. ないからこう
it's so simple. It's like the simplest deal you could possibly structure.
そう。
I mean, Macron and those guys should fly over there next week and be like, hey, how much, you know, per month or per year or per quarter or whatever it is it going to take to preserve the Amazon rainforest?And then the richest countries in the world will get that money together, and they can work out some agreement. Because otherwise, it's always going to be this, you know, finger pointing. Well, we want to make money, and we have tons of poor people. You know, there's people starving to death and being shot in the favelas, yeah. And it's like, oh, don't touch the trees, right?
そうなんだよね。だからこう今ってそれのまあ、ある意味逆になってるというか、例えばそのパーム油の問題もそうだけど、じゃあ日本政府はそのインドネシア政府とかマレーシア政府が言ってることを鵜呑みにしているわけじゃない。でその森林を皆伐することを、まあ、ある意味容認している、容認してないっていう建前で容認している。で日本がガンガンそこにお金を落としてどんどんどんどん伐採されてるわけじゃん。だからどうせお金を落とすんだったら、今マイケルが言ったみたいに逆にその伐採しないためのサポートを先進国としてできればいいんだけど、今その持ってるお金の使い道がちょっと違くなっちゃってるというか、逆になっちゃってるから。
Well, that, yeah, that, I mean, that's more, I think that's a more typical case where the externalities of operation are outsourced to other countries to avoid having environmental destruction in your own country.
で、結局その、まあ、対応がその発展途上国のみに押し付けられて、で、その尻拭いというかそのサポートを NPO とかこうお金ないところが一生懸命頑張って個別にやってるっていう、
うん、
それはちょっと、まあ、サステナブルじゃないしあまりにも大変だから。
Isn't it crazy that they can, can get deals done, like make agreements with Kim Jong-un, but we can't make an agreement with freaking Brazil? I don't understand. Like, it just seems like...
そうね、まあでもこう今のトレンドとしてはこのボルソナロ大統領もそうだし、トランプとかこうなんだろう、環境問題なんてありますかみたいな。
Well, it's what we were describing earlier. What is it? The
タイプの、
なんだっけ、consequentialist versus deontologist.
そうね。
Right.
そう。だからまさに
a nationalist would be like, let the other countries take responsibility for the environment.We gotta get ours. We gotta grow our GDP. We gotta feed people.
だからアメリカファーストみたいな、アメリカファースト、ブラジルファーストみたいな。で、それを国民にとってはもちろんいいんだけど、地球規模で見たとき、人類全体にとって良くないことっていうのがあるわけじゃん。
Yeah. And it's not just who's first, but also the, very strongly the sense of sovereignty as, you referenced. You know, other countries telling your country what to do is becoming less and less popular around the world.
うん、特にやっぱりこう環境問題だと先進国対 それ以外の国っていう風になっちゃうから、mm-hmm. だからこうまあとっくに、
yeah. France is sitting there with like a million nuclear reactors.
yeah, でとっくになんかその人たちはいいじゃんもうっていう話なんだよね、uh-huh. もう全然こう環境についてよく分かってない時代にオゾン層をめっちゃ破壊して森林も全部切ってでかい都市を作ってもう経済的に安定してるわけだから、まあ、そういう人たちに言われたくないって言われちゃうのは、まあ、いつもいつも出てくる問題だから。
Mm. You know, I mentioned that the fire activity had returned to normal levels, but I really think the normal levels are not good.
Mm.
And at those levels, I mean, this has proceeded, quite substantially to eliminate some 12%. Mm. And, a lot of that remaining percent has beenvery much compromised as well. It's not really pristine as it once was.
あとこうトレンドとしてやっぱり日本のメディアがなかなか報じない、まあ、こういう環境問題しかもブラジルで起きてるとかってさ、
mm-hmm.
まあ日本のメディアからするとそんなに興味ないわけじゃん、
mm-hmm.
あのだから優先度としてあんまり高くないから先にソーシャルメディアで話題になるんだよね。そうすると大きいメディアで話されてないし、これって本当なのかな、
hmm.
本当にそんな大変なのかな、てかなんか熱帯雨林が燃えたからって何なんだみたいな、こういろんな疑問が湧いてくるわけじゃん。そこでやっぱ一つでもそれをちょっと大げさに言ってたり数字が間違ってたりすると一気にもうあはいはいじゃあ聞かなくていいことねってされちゃうっていう流れを見て、
You turn on the TV and you just see, you know, someone got divorced or something.
So,
right? And it's like, well, the Amazon rainforest couldn't possibly be on fire.
そうだからこうで、まあ大げさに言ってる人も別にそれでお金を得てるわけじゃないから、こう本当にさっきマイケルが言ったみたいにみんなこう good intention、こうなどうにかしてみんなのアテンションを引きつけないと、この環境のためになんでみんな分かってくれないんだろうっていう強い思いで多分こう、まあ、わざとかわざとじゃないにしろ違う数字を使ってたりとか、まあ、センセーショナルな写真を持ってきたりとかしてて、だそこでこうみんながこうなんか怒り合うっていうのももったいないっていうか、誰もこう悪い意図があって言ってるわけじゃないから、
Because both sides are right, and they're just talking past each other in that situation.
そうなんだよね。でも環境の話になると結構そういうの多くて、こうなんか、まあ、言いたいだけっていう人もいるじゃん。こうこんなに活動頑張ってる人たちがいるよとか、こう声を上げてるアクティビストがいますって言った時に、なんかだからさっきのやっぱりこう ね、すごい頑張ってる人がいた時に自分がなんかやってないみたいな気持ちになって、うん、嫌な気持ちになるっていう人もだからそれが無意識にそう思って何か攻撃したくなっちゃうとかもあるのかもしれないけど、
うん、
こう問題問題ばっかり言ってなんか案を出さないじゃないかみたいななんかすごい言う人とかっていうのがいて、
yeah. Well, it feels like an accusation, you know. If someone says、
ね、
like the you know climate change is happening, and then you've just been living your life, you know,、うん、you drive some diesel truck and you、
yeah.
use
ちょっと規模は違うけど、あの私インスタグラムで子供のこうセンサリーなんていうのスキルスを高めるためにおもちゃみたいなおもちゃっていうか遊ぶクラフトを手作りしている人のアカウントがあって、こう 毎週ぐらいそのおもちゃ棚を入れ替えるんだよね。でそうすると刺激になってとかで、おもちゃもこう普通のおもちゃじゃなくてこうじゃあお米にいろんな色つけたやつをこうトレーの中でザラザラってやってこういろんな素材を手でやってとか、毎回なんかもうそうやって違うもの、でそれ最初はあすごいと思って見てたんだけど、絶対自分にできないし、そこまでなんか見るたんびに確かになんかネガティブな気持ちになる。
Yeah, what the kid's gonna end up becoming like a world class masseuse or something like, what, where is it going?
I don't know, but すごいクリエイティブなわけよ、そのお母さんが。
Hmm.
すごいなって思ってるうちに、だんだん見るのがストレスになってきて、なんか誰にでもやっぱそういう、なんか人間の心理としてあるんだろうね。だからすごい人を、すごいって思ってるんだけど、あまりにも見せられてると、こう、ああ、もうちょっと辛いみたいな。
Hmm. But some things are easy enough that you should kind of feel like lazy garbage if you're not doing it. You know, like some things.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're throwing your pet bottle into like 燃えるゴミ.
Oh yeah.
You are just garbage.
まあそれはそうだけどね。
Right.
だからバランスの問題だよね。
Yeah.
あのこの間そういえばあのプランテーションウォッチのサイトでパーム油のこうすごい簡単に参加できるサイトみたいなのをツイートしたから、興味ある人はそういうのを見てほしい。それは本当にあのなんか。カップラーメン、日清のカップラーメンとか、まあ、いろいろパーム油使ってる製品があって、それにこうカチッ頑張れってボタンを本当にパチッて押すだけで、まあ、数を集計してて、それが1000ポイント貯まると、あのプランテーションウォッチが代わりに企業に、あこんな貯まった、みんな声出てますよ、また頑張ってねみたいな代わりに言ってくれるっていう。だから自分は別に何もしなくてよくて、そのボタンを押すだけで団体の人が代わりに頑張ってくれるっていう。いや、そういう仕組みも結構あるから、あの今別にこう仕事を辞めてその団体に参加してめちゃくちゃ頑張るみたいなことができない場合でも、何もできないわけじゃないから
。 It's crazy that it's happening, you know, like all over the world. You know, it's not just the Amazon that this, I mean the fires are started by humans who are clearing land, and humans are clearing landand precious forests all around the world. So
yeah. でなんかこうやってこう自分は分かってる側の人みたいに言ってるけど、マイケルもいつも言ってるように自分も多分全然気づかないところで同じことしてんだよね。その分かってない側の人の反応とか。だからそれがまあこの今の怖いところだよね。でそれに多分一生気づかないままっていうのもあるだろうし。だから。難しいけど、
yeah.
うん、次。
According to a study published in Scientific Reports, the mysterious structure of galaxies may be explained by an emergent force called the morphogenic field, once described by Johannes Kepler 400 years ago. The researchers suggest that the mathematical relationship between entropy and information is identical to that between electric and magnetic fields, andThis produces this morphogenic field in a way that is similar to an electromagnetic field. They then tested their theory by using their equation to predict the energy difference between a coiled and straightened strand of DNA. Next, they used their equations to calculate the holographic temperature of the Milky Way and multiplied that by the entropy of the supermassive black hole in the center, yielding the total galactic energy and mass. The researchers claim that their equations can account for galactic rotation without the need for dark matter. Current cosmological models only explicitly account for about 5% of the gravitational forces we observe in galaxies, including our own Milky Way. Evidence for dark matter includes gravitational lensing, the cosmic microwave background data, and galactic formation. Among most cosmologists, the primary candidate for dark matter is undiscovered weakly interacting massive particles, or WIMPs.
Scientific Reports に掲載された研究で、謎の多い銀河構成は400年前にヨハネス・ケプラーが提唱した形成形態場によって説明できる可能性があることが分かりました。チームによると、エントロピーと情報の数学的関係性は電波と磁場の関係性と似ており、電磁波と同じように形成形態場を作り出します。チームはこの理論を確かめるため、公式を使ってねじれた DNA とまっすぐな DNA のエネルギーの差を予測しました。次に天の川銀河のホログラフィック温度を測り、それを超対質量ブラックホールのエントロピーにかけて、銀河のエネルギーと質量を導き出しました。この方法だと、ダークマターがなくても銀河回転の説明がつきます。従来の宇宙モデルでは天の川銀河を含め銀河で観測可能な重力のおよそ 5% しか説明されていません。ダークマターが存在する証拠には重力レンズ CMB 銀河形成があり、大半の宇宙学者がダークマターの主な候補として WIMP と呼ばれ、まだ発見されていない仮説上の粒子を挙げています。
Yep.
ダークマターないかもしれないってこと?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't know what dark matter is in the first right. place.
Mm.
So we don't know if it's really a thing. We just see the effect. Mm. So the effect is confirmed.
Mm.
But we don't know what the source of the effect is.
Mm.
I mean, we say matter because the effect is the same effect that matter has. Mm. But we don't know for sure that there's matter there.
Hmm.
And it's so crazy that you know, only 5% of the matter is accounted for in galaxies. Hmm. So if dark matter exists, that is. So the way a galaxy is rotating, it's rotating as if the other 95% is there, the matter.We only see 5% of what should be there in general. Which means it's way off, right?
Yeah.
It's way, way off. Like the way galaxies look just doesn't make any sense.
Right. But, でもこの新しい理論だったら、それがなくても、説明がつく。でも、But it. So how do they explain it?
Well, they explain it by saying that there's this infoentropic force that interacts with the matter that we do see, between the matter that we do see.
そっか、だからこの、このエントロピーとインフォメーションが一緒にがプロデュースしてる何これ、モーフォジェニックフィールドっていうもの自体が今アカウントされフォーなってないってこと、ないものとしてるってこと。
The morphogenic field is not something that's accepted by mainstream cosmology、
right.
at all.
あ、そっかそっか。 それがあるとしたら説明がつきますって。
And also the holographic
Yeah, what's holographic temperature?
It's based on the holographic principle, which is sort of a mathematical model of the cosmos that models, I guess, what we see as a hologram.
Okay.What?
And I've never understood what the heck they're talking about with that stuff. But I think their calculation for the temperature of the Milky Way was more based on the black hole event horizon temperature calculations that were done by Stephen Hawking.
でもこれを最初見た時もうマイケルの話かなと思った。
Well, it's about entropy, so
and information.
And information, which are, I think are quite interesting.
もうなんか morphogenic fields っていうタトゥー入れてほしいぐらいだもん。
でも morphogenic field, I don't know if I quite buy that whole notion. I mean,、morphogenic fields have been proposed in many forms.
あ、そうなんだ。
I think Rupert Sheldrake had a version of that as well.
Ah, okay.
And it was based on some kind of...historical continuity of entropic information like echoing through everything that exists. So like if you wear bell bottoms, then you're invoking some morphogenic field from the 60s or something.There's like
what
he had a really like squirrely note.
That's very romantic.
Yeah, well he some people took this idea quite far where they started to look at the world around them and to literally see the past. And on some level what you see around you is literally like connected to things in the past. You know. I mean, this microphone is literally connected to the invention of the microphone, for example.
Right, right.
And so he believed that there was some field of, some kind of field of, I don't know, cultural field of awareness or information or something that was like compounding over time, or I don't know. I don't really understand that either. But he spun pigeons around in different cities and let them go and tried to see if they could still figure out which way to...
What?
I don't know. They were doing crazy experiments. Like some of the old experiments people were doing were so nuts because they just didn't... Because the real explanation turned out to be that there's some sort of like magnetized materials doing some quantum pointing in the retina of birds' eyeballs or something. Like nobody was going to guess
that. そうだよね。なんか事実自体がもうぶっ飛んでるもんね。But
yeah. And this.
でもこの information っていうその情報っていうもの自体をこうなんだろう。
There are a few concepts around this whole issue, and one is randomness, one is chaos, one is information, and entropy, and then whether systems are open systems or closed systems, and then entropy tends to only increase. And so I think...Physicists have attributed the directionality of time to entropy. So time only moves in one direction, and that's because entropy only moves in one direction. There's some sort of inherent inclination to the structure of things, and the eventuality of systems. And people point to, for example, the authors point to.A snowflake. So a snowflake has energy, and it's just water molecules, and they're moving around. And then as it cools, all of a sudden this crazy sophisticated and symmetrical structure emerges from what? Because there was no organization to the water. Where did the organization come from?
Do they know?
For the snowflake.
Do they know?
Some people think they know.
Hmm.
So there, people have debated, you know, does a snowflake violate the second law of thermodynamics? But you could ask the same thing about organisms. So we don't know where the inherent base structure is, but it seems like, I don't know, it's probably always been that way, right? Like if a droplet of water froze 500 billion years ago, probably the same thing would happen, right? It's not like that was added somewhere. And then all the snowflakes kind of do it differently.
Like they evolved into doing that.
I don't think snowflakes... Well, the universe is definitely...
That'd be super surprising.
The universe is definitely evolving.
Right.
And it definitely has structures within it. Right? Like solar systems.
Right.
Galaxies are structures.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of structures on planets. And cosmologists would say that those structures, that all the structure in the universe can be traced back to... quantum fluctuations in the cosmic microwave background radiation. So that there were some perturbations in or disturbances in what is very close to the initial conditions for our universe, and that's where the structures sort of came from. Think about like what If you had to define the amount of information in the universe right now.
Yeah.
And then imagine, was there, if you had to describe the entire universe perfectly at the beginning of the universe, does that take more information, less information, or the same to describe it?
More, right?
At the beginning?
No.
More now to describe it?
Mm.
But if there's more information now than there was at the beginning, then it means the universe gained information.
Right.
Can a closed system gain information?
I don't know. Maybe.
Right, so that if it is a closed system and there's no new information, then there's definitely no free will.
But if... Like Stephen Hawking said that maybe black holes are storing information, right? Like they don't destroy it, but they just store it.
They may re-emit some information. We don't know what the...
So you're saying that from the beginning of the universe until now, the total amount of information has been the same? It's just the distribution?
I think that the total amount of information has increased because entropy is increasing. And I think of entropy as information. I think entropy basically, there's a difference between entropy and novelty. But entropy and information are essentially the same thing. So if you have a screen... and I randomly arrange all the pixels, then you're going to need all the information to describe that to someone because you don't have any system for compressing that screen.
Right.
That's the maximum amount of information, and that's the maximum amount of entropy.
Mm.
Now, if there was a pattern in that screen somewhere, then you would be able to compress the contents of that screen, and it would be less information. And so what scientists are saying is that the universe entropy is increasing and it's becoming more and more diffuse and indecipherable, basically, over time. And less organized.
The amount of energy in the universe.
Yeah.
Is that also increasing?
Well, I would say the total energy plus matter is constant. But the universe is... Because the universe is inflating, the useful energy is decreasing.
But the total amount has been the same.
I think it really depends on what dark energy is. Because, yeah. Well, I think it's the same. The total amount should be the same. Yeah. Of matter plus energy.
So the total amount of energy cannot increase.
I don't believe so.
But total amount of information could.
Yeah, that's the problem. Can information increase in a...
Right.
But if entropy can increase, then it seems like information is increasing. The total information is increasing. But, you know, not everyone agrees on all this stuff. Nobody, you know, scientists don't agree on whether it's deterministic or not.
When you say entropy is increasing, I thought entropy... Like, what do you mean when you say entropy is increasing?
Disorder is increasing. So, like, things... Organized systems tend to break down. And not
like more and more ってこと?
More and more. More and more. And as the universe expands, inflates, that really adds to that process. And so when you factor in dark energy, that's when you start to see the universal heat death, where everything just kind of, all the suns are just beaming all their energy out in every freaking direction, and it all just sort of stops being useful energy.
Like, is it possible that the total amount of information has been the same and it can't increase, and we as humans are getting more and more information because it's coming from somewhere? Like, it was being stored in some black hole or something, and it's just...
Well, I guess the idea would be that...
Like, it's raining.
As the universe... One thing that I think is noticeable is that as the universe cools, complexity emerges. So the surface of planets are very, very cool. But not too cool. You don't want it to be freaking frozen over.
Right.
But sort of the timeline for the cooling of the surface of planets really determines when life can show up. I think it'll just keep getting colder and cold. All of our machines, everything we make is getting colder. It's all solid state. It's all going to be like these cold machines. Like,
right.
The idea is that the universe will become cold and essentially crystallize. And that's how the crystallization is, how the complexity is emerging. And in that theory, then that organization was already there. And so we're just sort of watching the universe unfold into what it would unfold into as it cooled. Because at the very beginning of the universe, everything was in one point, one dense, way too hot point. So if you look at the whole timeline, it's like the cooling is sort of what brought forth the structure. And in that sense, it seems similar to the snowflake.
The other story that was going around about previous universe, did you read that? What did they say?
Well, mathematician and physicist Sir Roger Penrose suggested that the little swirls and disturbances that you can see in the cosmic microwave background data are actually the remnants of the last supermassive black holes from the previous universe. So at the end of the universe, there is like these super, super, super black holes that just sucked up a bunch of stuff. And when the universe I think he was advocating for the bang and what do you call it? They call it triple C, but it's a cyclical cosmology model where the universe blows up once and then comes back together.
Hmm.
So
they're saying that that's what happened?
Yeah. Do I hear some weird noise?
Yeah, know? Sorry. That's okome taiteru oto. 6時に子供にご飯あげなきゃいけないんだけど、もう冷凍してるご飯がなくなっちゃったから今炊いてんの。
What is that? Tripping me out. Sounds like some indigenous ceremony or something. Yeah. Yeah, so I think people should try to make mathematically explicit the new information that's new, novel information. It's somehow that there's a distinction between something that's already been done before and something that's never been done.
Hmm.
And things that have never been done tend to have great significance to us humans.
Hmm.
So,
and yeah,
I always think about like art. Like if you make art that affects people, it might affect people deeply and then affect a smaller number of people because it's not as relatable, it's not as mainstream. And that it's all about the net effect. So it doesn't matter if you don't reach that many people as long as you have a profound effect.
Yeah.
Or if you have a shallow effect on a bunch of people, then it's the same. You can kind of do that similar calculation. But new information begets new information, whereas information that's not new doesn't really stimulate anything.
So then that.
And so I think the universe, that's the point, is to change. Yeah. The point of the universe is to change. That's why like there's time, and the only way for it to change is for there to be new information. I don't know. I talked to Sakurai Kazuki about this.
Yeah.
Because I looked at the equations and didn't understand any of it. And he looked at them and he didn't understand them either. and he said the contents were bonkers. So he seems to think that it violates, I think he said general relativity, it probably violates some other stuff. But the thing is, all these new theories violate something. And it only needs to be like 1% true to add value. So
yeah, it's really cool. なんかやっぱその情報っていうものをこういうふうに捉えるっていうのは、まあ何年か前にマイケルが私に説明してくれて、それであそっかって思ったけど、こうなんか情報っていうものの捉え方としてこういうやり方があるっていう、こういう見方があるっていうことだけでも面白いよね、やっぱり。
Yeah, there's so many weird thought experiments about it, and it's absolutely fascinating to think about. But I think a good starting point is like, if you imagine the entire universe is made of particles, and if you just know the position and velocity or the attributes of each particle, then you have right there, you have all of the information in the entire universe. And you know everything that will ever happen. And you know everything that has happened. Just from that. And I think this was a demon that was imagined by a physicist named Laplace. And the question is whether we live in a world where everything is just determined by the position and trajectory of these particles. I mean, is that it? Or is there something else going on? So, because that's a very, you know, the position and velocity of all these particles, or, you know, their spin or whatever it is, their attributes, is very information-like. They just seem like bits in a computer, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know if, are those particles, are they the fundamental thing? For us, it seems like they are, because that's what we see and that's what we're describing.
Yeah.
But for the universe, we don't know if that's another...
Right.
Pasteboard mask, you know, another fraud, because the atom was a fraud. We thought that everything was made of atoms, right?
Right.
And there's nothing smaller than an atom.
Yeah.
Bullshit. There's tons of stuff way smaller than an atom. And we can't tell if we've actually found the real thing or not, you know? So
in the book, The Three Body Problem that I read recently, Santai, ネタバレかな、ちょっとまだ読んでない人はここから1分2分3分ぐらい飛ばしてほしいけど、なんかそこにこうパーティクルよりもっとちっちゃいものが実際あって、そこにまた違うユニバースがあるみたいな。
そこにって、 in the particle?
Like in the particle.
In like each particle?
I don't really remember the details, but like basically like particle が一番ちっちゃいものではなくて、もっともっとちっちゃいものがあって、そこにこうまた違うユニバースがあるみたいな。なんか話がちょっと出てきて、だからこう私たちが知らない間にだからそれを壊したりとかしてる。Like there are tons of universes that are crushed because of us, and we don't even know. And they don't even know what happened. なんかそれを考えてすごい面白いなって思った。
I actually think that's true, except that all of those universes are in our people, are living beings or living creatures. And that's actually where the universes are occurring, is actually inside everyone's mind. And that the real universe outside of a mind may really just be, you know, particles flying around and stuff.
Right.
Because it's like the emergent thing that's happening, the consciousness, the thinking, the conversations, the ideas, the dreams, whatever, all that stuff that, you know, on some level is made of particles, somehow the emergent thing is the point. The point wasn't to have, you know, this arbitrarily human-shaped particle mess.
Yeah.
You know, like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? It's the point is sort of the emergent thing that happens later, I feel like.
Right.
But I'm biased, you know, because I'm a living being and I want to feel important.
それはどうしようもないもんね。
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... Because Nakayama-san was saying that too, right? Like, もっとちっちゃいもの全然あるかもしれない。So like, in the book, they kind of talked about how like, その particle accelerator でめっちゃぶつけてるわけじゃん。なんかそのたんびにLike the entire universe within it is destroyed, but we're totally oblivious to it. みたいな、
right.
なんか話が出てくるね、ちょっと。で、それなんか面白いなって思わない？
So, if you slam particles into each other, you're like killing what?
The entire universes? Yeah.
And is it just... Is it universes within universes in sort of a fractal sense? Or is it like there's just a universe and then there's another universe?
I don't know, but it wasn't even the main point of the story. It was just mentioned really casually, just a little bit. So it doesn't really go into it, but なんかその idea 面白いなって思った。And they also...
This is a weird like... thought, but I always feel like the truth, the real truth about the universe or whatever's going on is not going to be rational.
Mm.
And that's kind of like freaky.
Yeah.
Obviously any rational person would say no.
It is already freaky that we live in this huge space, and so, as far as we know, at this point, we're the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, その observe できる限り, mm-hmm. that's already really weird and freaky,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So
super weird and freaky.
So, 何が事実でも本当は驚くべきじゃないぐらいのなんかぐらいもう現実がめちゃくちゃトリッピーじゃんっていう。だから I wish you read this book because it kind of gave me なんか new it presents new ideas that I hadn't really thought about. So like apparently some of the like scientific parts are total bullshit, and I think they are aware, but still pretty cool. なんかパーティクルアクセラレーターが出てくる SF もの初めて見た読んだし。
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but they have put all. Every freaking technology you can imagine has been in science fiction, you know,
right.
in science fiction books.
Well, but. I mean, I don't really read science fiction stuff, so this, I mean, there's that, but it was, it's like a big thought experiment, one after another-ish, and I hear that the second book is better than the first one, and the third one is better than the second one.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool, right?
So they don't have a three-body problem.
Yeah. No, they don't.
Well, when I read I, Robot, which is a collection of Isaac Asimov stories, when I was in middle school, and it made me think about a lot of things, and it made me think about the future, and nobody else in my class was reading anything like that. So it kind of...
寂しいね。
Well,
because like when you read something like that, you want to talk about it with someone who's read the same thing, right? So you can kind of discuss it.
Yeah. So my least favorite teacher noticed that I was reading that book during a detention that he gave me. And
you became best friends.
And then, yeah, he started talking to me about Asimov. So that was cool.
次。
On Monday, SpaceX successfully tested their Mars spaceship prototype vehicle called the Starhopper. The vehicle launched from its pad in Boca Chica, Texas, and hovered at a height of 150 meters before slowly returning to the ground, remaining in the air for 57 seconds. Starhopper is 20 meters tall, 9 meters wide, and constructed using a stainless steel water tank with a single full-flow staged combustion Raptor engine producing 2,000 kilonewtons of thrust using liquid oxygen and liquid methane. The Raptor engine is a highly reusable methane stage combustion engine designed to operate using off-planet fuel. Currently, two Starship prototypes, MK-1 and MK-2, are under construction, one in Boca Chica, Texas, and one in Cape Canaveral, Florida. According to the most recent plans, the final Starship will have 6 Raptor engines and sit atop the first stage Starship Super Heavy, which will have 35 Raptor engines.
今週月曜日、SpaceX が火星に行く宇宙船のプロトタイプであるスターホッパーのテストを行い、無事成功しました。テキサスのボカチカから打ち上げられたスターホッパーは150メートルまで飛んだ後にゆっくりとパッドに着地し、飛行時間は合計57秒間でした。スターホッパーは高さ20メートル、幅9メートルでステンレスの給水タンクでできており、液体窒素と液体メタンを使って2000キロニュートンの推進力を持つ2段燃焼サイクルのラプターエンジンを1機搭載しています。ラプターエンジンは再利用可能で、地球外の燃料を使った運用を想定しています。現在、スターシップのプロトタイプ MK1 と MK2 がそれぞれテキサスのボカチカと フロリダのケープカナベラルで建設されています。最新の計画では火星に行くスターシップはラプターエンジンを6機搭載し、ラプターエンジンが35機搭載されたスターシップスーパーヘビーに乗って打ち上げられる予定です。今回ね、あのアマゾンの話以外マイケルが選んだトピック全部宇宙だったからね。
そう
6個中5個が宇宙だったんだよ。
No, there was a disintegrating materials のやつあったじゃん。
あ、そっか。でも You picked 8, right? そういえばだから8個中6個が宇宙の話だった。
そう、
いや今回宇宙おーって思ったもん。でもいろんな、ね、ことが起きてるから、このスペースシップのスターホッパー、あ、スペース X のスターホッパーかわいいね。
うん、
なんかこうずんぐりむっくり感があるというか。
Yeah, it was supposed to look cool, but the pointy part got blown off、
oh.
in the wind.
Oh, okay.
So they just,
あ、そうなんだ。
they're like, whatever, this looks okay too.
Because、
they didn't really need the pointy part for this,this altitude、okay. and this、okay. Velocity. So, like the pointy part is for aerodynamics if it's going、fast, right?、
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
かわいかった。でも着々と進んでいますね、これは。
Yeah, I mean, they're building two starships、prototypes、and、they're doing that so that when they need two starships to launch at the same time, so one of them can serve as a fuel tank、to refuel the other one before it goes to Mars、to extend the range、did you see the video of the test?
This?、
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see anything weird happen during the test?
No, I only saw the その飛ぶところ。
So during the test,、I mean, it was a successful test,、but there was some kind of malfunction of the engine towards、the end of the test.、And that hasn't been stated.Officially by SpaceX or anything, but if you watch the video right before it lands, you can see something bad is happening to、
like、
the engine.、
What?
Well, you see some sort of、debris or disturbance or something in the exhaust plume、very briefly、and then、a flame starts coming out of、the top of the bell housing.
Huh.
Which is not supposed to happen.、
So,
I mean, it still landed. It was fine.、But something weird was happening there. And it could be...
そっか。
Maybe, I mean, who knows?、Who knows what it is?
結構前だけど、SpaceX がなんかを建設しているかどっかの土地でこっそりとなんかをしていて、まあ、それは SpaceX の、土地ですっていうのはもう公開せずに、でこう取材とかに行ってこれスペース X の土地ですよねって言うと違いますって言うんだけど、働いてる人がみんなスペース X のロゴがついてて駐車場に止まってる車がみんなテスラっていう、バレバレみたいなの見た。それ面白いなと思ったけど、
I think they've kind of given up on that secrecy、because、well, they're just building them outside now.、Like the whole construction、process is literally outside.
Yeah. 隠せないよね。
It's because they're made from stainless steel, which is a very unusual or strange material choice for a、rocket. None of the rockets are made from stainless steel、right now.、and pressurized the way this one will be. So it's, the engine is extremely unique.The construction of the spaceship itself is extremely unique.、The engineering that's going into it is crazy. Like, you can see it on the... Elon puts a lot of stuff on Instagram and stuff. You know, they're doing various、testing for heat dissipation, the heat shield.、And、so they thought they could run fuel in these journals through the, along the skin of the spacecraft to cool it.And then they thought, well, maybe we can make little mist holes in the steel, and then it'll like spray fuel out of the mist fuels, and that'll cool it.
Okay.
And And 面白いね。I think now they're on some like Pika X, ablative tile, ceramics or something. It's just, it's really tricky. And the full spaceship is going to be 118 meters.
Okay.
Which is really big.
ね。
Yeah.
まああとは先々週だっけ話したブシェミ問題があるから、そのブシェミレディエーション問題があるから、それも、そういうのもね、どうなるのか。
I was thinking about that, and I feel like, you know, they've done all these competitions and stuff showing these really fancy 3D, autonomously 3D printed Mars habitats and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, you know, this is some spiral honeycomb something, something.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, why don't people just, well, so in Northern America, there were these, I guess there are still some, but Pueblo Indians, tribes, and they would dig these pit houses. They would just dig a pit in the ground and make a house out of it and stuff. And this is using stone tools and stuff. So why not just send some people with shovels to Mars and have them make like a pit house? And then you just need some kind of a sealing cement mix to seal it off. But if you're underground, then you have radiation shielding completely.
Right, right.
But I think any surface dwelling is a bad idea after the radiation stuff we've been reading.
いやしかもこの間のブシェミ問題だってもう行く途中でもうダメみたいな話だったじゃん。もう着いた頃にはみんなブシェミみたいな。
Well, that's assuming that you have like almost no shielding
right.
at all, and they make no progress on that.
Right.、
そ
うだ。だからそれをねだから解決しないといけないからさ。
But I think it's looking more likely that Martians will just have to live underground.
That's depressing.
It is depressing. More、yeah. Bushemis that way. Or more or less, what's、yeah. worse, radiation or being underground?
同じぐらい。
It's like the same, right?
だからあの
It doesn't really help that much.
あのあれどこだっけ？アイスランドだっけ？ あのほら日照時間があまりにも少ないからこう人工太陽光みたいな、を作らないといけないとかさ家の中でもこうライト浴びるとかあるじゃん。
I saw they like put mount, not mountains, they put
valley に
they put mirrors on like a hill or something,
そうそう
and then like
そういうなんかことをしないといけない。
The people walk out into the town square and they feel like the light from the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like oh, feels so nice. This
そういうことをしないといけないのかな。いや地下嫌だよね。なんか東京も地下にカフェとかあるじゃん。駅の駅地下のカフェとか、私は全然嫌な人それ。
You don't like it?
なんか地下嫌だ。だから火星でもうそのチョイスもないでずっと地下ってなると結構。
Do you like caves?
Caves?
Yeah.
No.
Well, not as like a restaurant venue, but as just like in general.
あ普通にあのツーリズムとかでこう鍾乳洞のケーブとか入るのは好きだよ。だけど。そこで暮らせって言われたら嫌でしょ。
yeah.
しかも外出れないんだよ。
Yeah.
それ嫌じゃない？なんか気
が滅入る。Are humans supposed to be underground? Who was the first human underground? I guess whoever walked into a cave thing, right? But
like underground pit?
Like cave and like just underground feels different, no?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cause cave はすぐ出れそうだけど。Underground はちょっと違うんじゃない。
What do you think of like that giant complex they had in the first Biohazard movie? Biohazard 1. The what was it called? The the nest or something? I think it was called the, you know, the first Biohazard movie with Mia Mia Jovovich.
Well, あれその Umbrella Corporation のこと、
yeah,
Underground
the
Company
whole underground
crazy, with a huge elevator
like, they have like 500,000 people working in there or something.
Yeah, that sucks.
Some super efficient underground complex.
Yeah. 絶対嫌じゃない？あそこで働くの。It's so depressing.
Yeah.
But then again, like people working really tall buildings, I have too.
They don't get depressed.
That's actually kind of depressing too, but at least they have windows. But then you can't open those windows.
Can it? You think it's depressing to be like super high up?
It was for me because, well, 自分で分かってなかったんだけど、その後にすごい低層の建物で働いた時があってドイツで、そしたら窓開けれるのね。それで全然違うって思った。やっぱ風が吹いてきて鳥の声とか聞こえるのと、東京で30何階とか40階で働いて窓1ミリも開けられないでシーンとしてるのは全然違った。
If you could open the window, would that make it better? So you would like it more if you were like 40 floors up, but you could open the window. And that's better than being like 4 floors up and you can open the window.どっちがいい? Like 4階 or 40階?
And you can open the window either way? あ、4階の方がいいかな。
40より?
その私が働いたドイツの時はもう1階だったのかな、もはや。まあ、高層の建物がないからさ。で、そうすると歩いてる人が見えたり、こう犬連れてる人とか、で、木も、もうすぐそこに葉っぱがあるみたいな。だから、そう、すごいこう、癒されるというか、隔離されてる感じがしないんだよね。
The trees are too short.
Yeah.
That's
That's the problem,
yeah,
yes.
If the trees were taller.
We need taller trees.
If the trees were taller, it'd be fine.
And more birds flying around the 40th floor. And,
there's no mosquitoes though, right?
And humans are too short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the problem. こう、やっぱり隔絶されてる感があるから、ここに閉じ込められているっていう。
Do you get used to like the people look like ants thing?
Yeah, I guess.
Like you get used to it?
Yeah. Why? Because of this apartment or
if you like go high up and you look at people walking around way down there,
yeah.
And they kind of look like ants.
Yeah.
There's kind of a weird abstract feeling that you have at first.
Yeah.
Right?
What is going on with my baby?
I don't know. Can go find
him. God. Okay.
One more thing. One of the COPVs like came off and flew away with the carbon overwrap pressure vessel. So if you're watching the video of the launch, you can actually see a piece come off and fly.
Oh.
It has its own thrust.
And
it flew like crazy.
Huh.
And it could have flown really far away and like...
Where did it go?
I don't know. Far away.
Oh.
But their next test is scheduled for October.
Okay.
And it'll use the full-scale...
Oh, 結構もうすぐだね。
Yeah, it'll use the full-scale Starship prototype. Ooh. And they'll go to an altitude of 20,000 meters or 20 kilometers.
Whoa, okay.
And that will be using 3 sea-level Raptor engines. And that will be followed by an orbital test launch using 3 sea-level and 3 vacuum Raptor engines. And that will be in orbit. And that'll be early 2020. And so if that all goes according to plan, and it seems to... It's mostly going according to plan so far. Then we should have transportation to Mars within just a couple of years.
Jeez.
So
it's happening.
Yeah.
文字起こしのテキストは iPhone、iPad、Mac、Android のバイリンガルニュース公式アプリでチェックしてみてください。月額240円で全部のテキスト読み放題プラスエッセイ読み放題ついています。めっちゃお得。激安、バイリンガルニュース .jp 公式サイトにはストアもあるのでぜひチェックしてみてください。
You released an essay, yeah?
最近頑張って毎週ぐらいつけてる。そうだね、リクエスト受け付けてるので、こういうこと書いてほしいなみたいなのがあったらぜひメール、バイリンガルニュース jp
ドットは
バイリンガルニュース
JP at
ドットないでしょ。
ない
ないよ。
バイリンガルニュース。I thought you were talking about the
website. No. バイリンガルニュースバイリンガルニュース JP at gmail.com でエッセイのリクエストも受け付けているのでメールお願いします。
Yeah. We renewed the website の見た目。
あ、そうだね。
ちょっと。So.
それも要チェック。 Facebook、Twitter、Instagram やってるのでフォローお願いします。
お願いします。
終わり。
以上です。
バイ。
バイ。